wish it so. Feed your head in a fire. And we got God, we got God in a box. Truth is a nice, pearls of the wise, dig in for yourself.
WNTI.org. That, what was that song? I didn't get the title.
God in a Box.
God in a Box by Gary Alt, who is here in the studio. Let's see. He has given us some readings from his new book, Force of Will. Now you're going to give us a song. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this one, Gary, leading in?
Yeah, this is called When the Curtain Falls. And believe it or not, well, you haven't heard it yet, so how do I know what you're going to believe?
Liar.
It was basically inspired by a Judy Garland special, like a documentary on Judy Garland. It was actually very highly acclaimed because of the way they did it. And, you know, I just always thought that her life was sad. I always loved Judy Garland. Her singing was just, you know, I used to watch her show all the time. And the fact that she, I don't think she was able to perceive love from Vince Minnelli or whoever it was that was really in her life that really matters. The crowds don't matter. They are not people that know you. You don't know them. But she was, you know, brought up as a Hollywood person, and apparently she was kind of stuck on the crowd approval thing. And she, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze her because I don't know, but I just always thought it was sad that she was such a loved person, but it was the wrong people that she was not perceiving it, you know. And then combine that with the fact that George Harrison, who I kind of put this on my tribute CD as a tribute to George Harrison, was kind of the opposite. Like, I always felt that he got it. Like, he understood how stupid and corrupt and ridiculous and fake the music business can be. And he railed against it, you know. So he was like, and he was more spiritually connected, you know. So it's like he didn't need that junk, you know. So I thought maybe that if he was telling a story about Judy Garland, this is how George would write it.
I don't know.
I even threw a little diminished chord in there, which all the rock people call the George chord, which it's obviously not. It's a jazz chord, but and classical. But anyways, this is When the Curtain Falls. The stage is your world, and the dreams of your beautiful girl come to life and dance as your voice fills the air. Hear it ring in your ears, all the sound of a million cheers, and it fades away into despair. When the curtain falls and you drink your sweet applause, just remember who alone loves the real you. Hear my heart when it calls back home when the curtain falls. You receive all the fame just as long as you're on your game, but the showers of praise, they come with a price, and you pay with your heart. That's the way you measure the art. Just don't make our love a sacrifice. When the curtain falls and you drink your sweet applause, just remember who loves the real you. Hear my heart when it calls back home when the curtain falls. Each nameless face in the crowd screams your name out loud. Hide your love in a cloud. When the curtain falls and you drink your sweet applause, just remember who alone loves the real you. When the curtain falls, when the curtain falls, when the curtain falls, when the curtain falls, just remember who loves the real you. When the curtain falls. Sorry about that.
No, that's great.
We had this very, very loud game of Pinochle all afternoon, and that was, you know, using my vocal cords too much, and they said, you're going to ruin your voice for tonight.
No, it sounded fantastic. really enjoyed that.
Nice.
Let's see. I'm going to take a quickie break here and come right back and play a cutoff Artist Survival.
Okay.
And then we'll lean on you for some more live stuff. Gary Ault, live here in the studio on Grapevine. Keep it right here. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hey, I'm Ray. Check out my rock and alternative show, Rock the Dome, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on WNTI, The Sound of Centenary. I'll be playing the best in alternative and classic rock, from Queen and AC/DC to Blink-182 and 21 Pilots. So join me on Rock the Dome, my rock and alternative show, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on WNTI, The Sound of Centenary.
Thank you.
WNTI.org. So that song was Due to Me, right? Which you said is a Gary Ault is here in the studio. You were saying while it was playing that right after that came out a similarly titled or exactly titled song came out.
Yeah, Trombone Shorty. Yeah. What are you going to do? You don't copyright. I mean, I wrote one years ago called One Foot on the Road. That's kind of one of my old standbys. That the month that I finished it, and I sent it to Russ Teitelman, who had been producing Clapton. I thought Clapton might like it. And they responded very positively, but it turns out Clapton was on another project with Simon Climie, like completely away from the blues, so it never was going to happen. But Kenny Wayne Shepherd put out an album with a song called One Foot, I think the same title, One Foot on the Road.
Okay.
or maybe One Foot on the Path, I forget. But it basically came from a interview with Clapton where he, after his Nothing But the Blues tour, which supported the From the Cradle album, he just made the statement that I always, I've dabbled in pop and rock and all this different stuff, but I've always kept one, talking about the blues, I've always kept One Foot on the Path. And I said, well, that's kind of a cool song title, One Foot on the Path, except I don't know, I think Road sounds better, you know? So, and then Kenny Wayne Shepherd does the same thing. I'm like, what the heck? I don't know. But, but you know, you don't copyright song titles. And right. The song, there was nothing similar about the two songs, nothing at all except for the title. So,
and then later on down the road, he comes out with that.
Right. So Due to Me, yeah.
Yeah, so you said Led Zeppelin influence maybe on Due to Me a little bit?
I think so. It's kind of hard to say, you know, but it sort of comes out. And just that exotic kind of a, you know, all those flatted fifths for the uninitiated, that doesn't mean anything. But flatted fifths within flatted fifths, like it's kind of, it's a bizarre chord pattern where it goes to the flatted fifth chord that has a flatted fifth in it. It's just, it's all over the place, you know, and it's a very Jimmy Page kind of a thing that he would write. And the guitar solo was kind of like the way he might approach it, you know, I think, anyway. I mean, what do I know?
Now, that would have been off Art of Survival?
Yeah,
you know, Who else played on that? Because it sounded like you had background vocals, or
I did all of that though. A couple of songs toward the beginning, my friend Jason Arvanitis sang the lead vocal, and on another song that's a duet, a friend Larry Hayden and my daughter-in-law Missy sang that.
Oh, all right.
And apart from that, there's one song on there called "Scared," where there's actually a string section that was played by a guy that's called, his name is Ian Cameron, but he calls himself E Fiddler because he's got a website, efiddler.com, and he, you know, you send him a MIDI file and he'll play it and send the file back to you.
Oh, wow.
I think apart from that, I did all vocals and all everything, drums and, you know, even sax. I don't play sax, but I put together wave files, you know. So all the guitars, all the keyboards, and, you know, pretty much the whole thing.
That's interesting. So let's see. You said you had an idea for playing a live one right now?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess I play this one called Old Friends. I guess there's maybe two stories I should tell about it. One is that I released it on an album that's no longer available, I guess, and then I realized, I said, you know what, for some reason I think there's some melody in there that's maybe not mine originally, and I ran it by my old friend Joel Sandberg, whom I went to high school with, lived around the block from me, and we used to sit in his bedroom writing songs like every day after school, and he said, yeah, that's mine. So I, you know, and I, what it is that I had used the chord structure and the melody for the verses, but I completely changed all the words and I completely changed the chorus and I put in a bridge that, you know, so I completely changed the song except for the verses, and the guitar part is pretty much his thing. And that's probably the most interesting part of the song. So I can't claim, you know, great credit for it.
But you're giving him props here.
Yeah. Well, I when I put it out on the tribute album, I mixed it like a CSNY kind of a song, you know. I added some harmonies and stuff, and I put his name on the credit, you know, so he gets like 10 cents an album or something like that, you know. And that's literally what songwriters get. But anyway, the more important thing about it is that this actually figures into the book. There's a whole chapter that reprints this lyric and laments about the fact that all these people that were my best friends, I mean, I loved these people, you know, all the people I knew from the religious group, just in one night just abandoned me. They didn't return phone calls and nobody helped when I needed a place to live and, like, you know, whatever. And then they, a couple of years later, the elders made claims that they were helping me and they weren't. And because I was supposedly ignoring them, that was fresh reason for everybody to, you know. So it was like this song about old friends. I don't have old friends anymore. You know, there's just none anymore. So I actually ended up playing it at a friend's memorial service a couple of years ago, who I really didn't know that well. I played with him a bunch. Super, super nice guy. I knew enough about him to love the guy, but I don't know him for a long time, so he's not an old friend. And then Cece, who's Carla in the book, said, well, that's what old friends means. It's people that feel like old friends. Like, you feel like you've known them your whole life. You
yeah,
know?
And that's
who
great.
Who cares about the other hairy whatevers, you know?
Yeah.
And it's important to be able to reinterpret your song if it's become too traumatic to play it because of the sentiment doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Because it's your baby. You don't just take a baby and throw it in the garbage because you don't like the way their teeth came in when they were 8 years old, you know? You just deal with it, you know? So it's kind of the same with a song. You gotta find out a way of living with it, you know? So anyway.
Okay, so what's the title?
Old Friends. And it's not the Simon and Garfunkel song, Old Friends. Anyway, no, it's different. Okay.
I can find the words to describe the love I've gathered all these years. Would it sound absurd to say that it's more than the sum of my tears? People come, people go. Their reflections all fade to gray. But the friendships of long ago, they never pass, never die away. Oh, I feel my old friends coming back. Never leave my heart. Old friends coming back. The trust runs so deep, even though we're miles apart. In my times of need, quiet desperation, never have to cry. You will always be the solace, the peace through an ebony sky. And I know that you understand, when the words don't flow out of me, you can come take my hand. I will be there, my heart is free. Oh, I feel my old friends coming back. Never leave my coming back. The trust runs so deep, even though we're miles apart. Long as the love is in you, long as the love is in me, so long we'll always be old friends coming back. Never leave my back. Old friends coming back. Old friends coming back. The trust runs so deep, and the love between old friends.
Woo. Thank you. Audience of one.
Our pleasant and attractive videographer was enthusiastically,
well,
Patty was enthusiastically watching it,
and she's got her hands hands busy with the video equipment, so she couldn't clap. So it's all good.
She was clapping in my heart.
You were clapping in your heart.
I feel like the Police on their second U.S. tour. I think the first tour they were like a smash hit, you know, and everybody thought, "Holy mackerel, they're never going to play these little clubs again." And the second time around, they played the same club with about three people sitting out front. My father's place. Yeah, that was the store. Maybe six people. I don't know. But anyway, I digress.
Yes. But, okay, well, let's circle back a little bit to your book. I know you wanted to hit on that. Your upcoming, give me your schedule for your upcoming reading.
Okay. All right. I have to look in two places for that. All right. So it starts with the, it's at the First United Church of Christ Social Hall on Church Street in Easton, Pennsylvania. That's this Saturday from 10 to 4. But if you go to the church between 2 and 2:30, you'll be disappointed. Or maybe you won't be disappointed. You'll be glad I'm not there. Because at that time, I will be reading excerpts from the book at, let's see, Quadrant Book Mart and Coffee House, which is just it's less than a minute walk away from the church, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really cool. And like I said, I haven't been there yet, but I looked at their menu and I looked at like all the pictures, and I'm really looking forward just to eating there. I mean, oh my goodness! It's just, and it's not just like BLTs and hamburgers. It's like really, really good organic stuff. Mm-hmm. So you know, come on and bring your appetite, and I don't know, maybe a jug of wine or something. And from 2 to 2:30, I'll be reading excerpts from the book, and then I'll be heading back to the church until 4 o'clock. So I'll sign autograph copies, and I will autograph copies, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, meet you and greet you and that kind of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. We're going to jump to a break here. By the way, keep it right here after our show wraps up in about 20 minutes for Rick from Randolph and his local artist show, which sounds a lot like...
This is Rick from Randolph, host of the Local Artist Spotlight, heard every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 11 on WNTI.org. I play songs by local artists, take listener requests, interview local artists who might perform their own songs and favorite covers, and sometimes I drift from my charter and play stuff just because it's stuff that I like to hear. We hope that you'll listen to the Local Artist Spotlight every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 11. I'm Rick from Randolph, and this is WNTI.org, the sound of Centenary.
Do you love country music? Then tune into Cruisin' Country every Thursday from 2 to 3 on WNTI.org. I'm your host, Katie Peters, and I'll be playing country hits from the 2000s to present day. Everything from Garth Brooks to Zac Brown Band, I got you covered. So sit back and cruise while you listen to Cruisin' Country with me, Katie, every Thursday from 2 to 3, only on WNTI, the sound of Centenary.
Thank you.
WNTI.org. I'm Greg Jones. Our show's The Grapevine. We're here for about another 10 or 15 minutes with Gary Ault live in the studio. And you were just listening to his song, Miss You. Now, you were talking about unfortunate song titles. There's been a song called Miss You.
Yeah, a couple of them with that. I mean, Al Clapton did one. I forget who else, but I don't care.
Stones.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Stones. Yeah, it was the mid-70s. I forget what album that was on. Maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
You
were talking in general, we were talking about with Albie, what kind of bands that you play and then your taste changes. Uh-huh. And I always say that of the bands since I started having to churn out music, so therefore mm-hmm. I wasn't just listening to my playlist. But Rolling Stones have like gone up so much in my estimation mm-hmm. since I started playing here, digging into some of their early 70s mm-hmm. stuff, and then like Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. So I mean, did you have that experience when you started? You said you were on a Beatles oriented kind of mandate.
Yeah.
Then you went to Clapton.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Clapton was my. Obviously, I heard the Beatles before Clapton because my sister was 12 years old when they were on Ed Sullivan, so it was in my household. And he didn't come to America until what the Cream did, I guess. Like Jimi Hendrix heard the Blues Breaker album, something like that, and when I was a kid, I grew up on Motown and the Beatles, basically, and all the bubblegum, 1910 Fruit Gum Company and Strawberry Alarm Clock, all that crap. But that didn't last, obviously. The Beatles and the Motown held on, and then, Stax Records, Otis Redding, and all that stuff took over. But when I discovered Clapton, it was like a light went on. It was just like, holy crap, it just blew me. I never knew what blues was before that.
Now, doesn't Spider have a thing about Clapton?
Yeah, well, Spider's an idiot. No, it's my secret. No,
he might be listening because we talked right before the show. So.
No,
he's kidding.
It was his idea to go toward a Clapton centric show. Yeah. Because he wanted me to do it. And I thought great. And I don't know when to take him seriously or not, but apparently I've heard him make comparisons between Clapton and Garcia that. I don't even know why somebody would want to compare the two. That they're both great in their own ways, But I'm fond of pointing out that that Clapton is probably, maybe with the exception of Jimi Hendrix, the most influential rock guitarist by far. Everybody that's anybody, including Eddie Van Halen, I mean, would claim Clapton as an early influence. They'd say, "Oh, I listened to that Blues Breakers album a million times," and I some people don't hear it. They don't hear how Cream turned into Mountain, which turned into Van Halen and, mm-hmm. and all these stuff in the 80s. But that is where it came from. Absolutely.
I think what you see from Clapton is the way that the old blues, southern, traditional blues, mm-hmm. were picked up by that next generation, the Stones and whatever.
Right.
And the people now that are playing things with blues-oriented are saying that it was carried forward into their generation by Clapton.
Right.
So it's kind of like, who's going to do it? Maybe it's John Mayall now.
Right.
Or John Mayer, I'm sorry. Mayall is Bluesbreaker, but John Mayer, who, I have friends that are just, worship him, especially when he sits in with the Dead, stuff
Like
that.
So, yeah.
It's kind of that carry the torch type of thing.
Right. Yeah, and thank goodness for people like John Mayer. I mean, personality-wise, it's like, geez, I wish he'd stop, But musically, I mean, the guy's fantastic. He comes on the scene as a kind of, I don't know, pop artist, whatever you want to call this, the Room for Squares and those first albums, and then he did the trio thing, and I'm thinking, well, he's just showing off or whatever. But I'm listening, and I'm like, holy crap, this guy's got seriously real chops, and he has obviously growing up listening to Albert King records and stuff. Right. You can't make that stuff up. You don't just sit there one day and say, I'm going to do a blues record and imitate, and just do a shoddy, imitation of whoever. I mean, he's great. And I think it's great that young people recognize the value of the blues, and it's not going to die. Rock and roll will never die, and neither will the blues.
Yeah.
Because there's always somebody to carry it forward, yeah.
Yeah, my son is a Stratocaster blues. He's 28, and John Mayer, when he first came out, he was kind of like, dad, you know, he got his sleeve done in like one day. You're supposed to get his tattoos, and you're, you know, it's like you're supposed to get it over time. And I was like, just come back with a better reason than that, please. And now he sends me clips of, oh, you got to listen to this. Is John Mayer's take on this, yeah, take on that. But yeah, I get it. But maybe he's going to be that one to take it forward, another generation, because he plays at Crossroads, you know,
right,
Clapton,
right,
and
right.
And Sisson Cope, what do you think of him?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Clapton's played with him, I believe.
Yeah, because I was impressed. I saw him on the stage in a Crossroads thing on YouTube, yeah. And Clapton came out, and of course he's the host there, sort of. So he's going to come out and say nice things about everybody.
Yeah.
But he really seemed to be moved with him and jumped up on stage a bunch of times.
Yeah. I really have the utmost respect for Clapton as a musician, and it's always been that way. But once in a while, he makes a call that I'm like, really? Yeah, and I don't know if Sisson Cope is one of them, but you know, Jimmy Vaughan is another one. I'm like, what? I don't see anything about him that's impressive. It's like, what are you talking about? But he'll talk about him all day long. Or ZZ Top. I mean, I think ZZ Top are great, but he considers them like an encyclopedia of information. Maybe they are personally when they're sitting in his living room. I don't know, but I just think of them as almost a novelty group with all the girl songs about girls' legs and stuff. It's like, what? That's blues? I don't get it.
You mean ZZ Top?
I agree with you totally. I'm just like, what the heck?
I love pieces of it, and then they're like, you know, what are we, bumblegummers here? I can't.
Yeah,
know,
I
don't.
Like,
I think there's two sides to it. Because when I've seen, I don't know which one, on Daryl's house, it's like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, that YouTube clip with
I feel like they have
ZZ Top on Daryl's house,
and
yeah.
They got the commercial thing that went on. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They really made their money, but they got jobs.
I don't need to go put like legs and tush on, you know what I mean? I'm innerly embarrassed.
Yeah.
But then there's other, you know, Heard It on the X. I play that a lot here. I think it's a great song to start a radio show with. I Heard It on the X, and that's just solid blues. Maybe they had an agent leaning over their shoulder on their song picks, that's Clapton also. If you look at his own history, he was very, if it was relationships, he was flitting from girl to girl. He was flitting from band to band.
Right. Haircut to haircut.
If you haven't seen the documentary, Beware Mr. Baker.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I just watched it the other day. And first of all, it was crazy. Secondly, they interview Clapton throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like speaks to himself, like maybe I wasn't there for him. And then Baker's, you know, they shoot to Baker and he's like, he's my best friend. He wasn't there for me. You know,
like, oh, wow. Really?
Wow. But Clapton's like, yeah, maybe I was, he said I was his best friend. Really? And he's like, well, I'm always here for him. But he, you know, personalized the music relationships and the way he flitted around. And they told the stories a couple times was he just like his eye wandered off, you know, like guy at a single bar and off, all of a sudden he was in another band and they're like, you know, Ginger Baker's like, what?
Yeah.
Clapton has been a big influence on me as well.
Yeah.
But apparently not so much on Spider.
No, that's Spider's problem. No, I mean, this radio station, I don't know the whole history of it, but to me, it started being good when Spider came along. Apparently it preceded him, but as the music and not social director, music and programming director, he's the guy that came up with these rotations. I don't necessarily agree with every CD he picked out, but I mean, that's a heck of a job. You get like 50 of those in the mail every day and you got to pick something. I don't know. I really think it had a lot to do with Spider's influence. And, you know, he championed the Daily Dose of Dead, which I think is a great thing. I mean, it's, aren't they an ancient band and don't we need to move on? Like, well, actually, it's important music, you know? I mean, it defined jam bands. Like, all these guys like Fish and Widespread Panic and stuff, they owe a nod to the Dead, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. I think he's a great guy.
Well, as, you know, a total Deadhead growing up, what I think the Dead brought is they played every genre of music. You want to hear, you know, bluegrass.
Right.
Jerry grew up teaching banjo,
right?
You know, all the way to psychedelic, all the way to classic country western, you know, Mexicali blues and that. So there's people that got introduced to whole new types of music just by wanting to go to, quote, the Dead, you know, concerts for their own social draw.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would be introduced to the different gospel, you know.
Yeah.
It, I think that'll be the Dead's obituary in 20 years from now. Will be like, they brought so many people into different types of music.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what the great bands do, you know. I mean, name any of them. You know, I mean, Clapton turned a whole generation onto the blues, and so did Hendrix. I mean, everybody thought of him as psychedelic Jimmy playing with his teeth and behind his back and setting fire to his guitar. That was a shtick that he did for a while, but then he turned away from that. Okay. And he just played some really solid, funky blues. I mean, just that was, you know, he was an Albert King, Buddy Guy but those were his big influences, you know. Right. So, that, you know, it's true of any great band. They just bring, you know, even the Allman Brothers. I mean, if you listen to some of their later recordings with Dickey, like some of the last ones they did with Dickey, there's a big Bird influence, you know, a Charlie Parker influence there.
Hmm.
What is it? Oh, this is Southern Rock, isn't it? Well, no, it's not Southern Rock. This is a blues, jazz, this is everything, you know. So I always thought that was kind of cool when you know, like Clapton listens to Puccini, and you know, he listens to classical music. You don't see him playing it, but he listens to everything, and it comes out in a different way. And you know, it's not like he's just a rock and roll blues guy or something,
right?
So,
all right, so you know, I'm going to play us out here with a song that we did when you were here about 6 months ago.
Okay,
off of Art of Survival, Valkyrie.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a neat song. And we're just about wrapping up our time here with Gary Ault. Gary, thanks so much for coming back. It's so interesting, ranging from your book to going through your old stuff to hearing you play here.
Thank you.
It's really been fun. Wide-ranging conversation.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to cut over to a quick promo for Rick from Randolph, who will be coming in momentarily, playing from 9-11. So keep you right here for that, and then we'll go right into Valkyrie from Gary Ault's CD, Art of Survival.
Okay.
This is Rick from Randolph, host of the Local Artist Spotlight, heard every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 11 on WNTI.org. I play songs by local artists, take listener requests, interview local artists who might perform their own songs and favorite covers, and sometimes I drift from my charter and play stuff just because it's stuff that I like to hear. We hope that you'll listen to the Local Artist Spotlight every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 11. I'm Rick from Randolph, and this is WNTI.org, the sound of Centenary.
You're listening to WNTI.org.